It is good to see you guys this morning, and I hope that you have had a great, great weekend. I just want to say before I start, I'm so grateful for you guys taking on the Power of Thanks challenge that we started last week, 10 days of just saying thank you, things that you're thankful for. And I've enjoyed getting to read everybody's Facebook posts or Instagram or whatever you use to get that word out. Maybe you don't have any of those, and maybe you sent an email, maybe wrote it on your refrigerator, whatever it was. But I'm just thank you for taking on that challenge. We have a few days left. We're going to go through Wednesday, so keep it up. I have to say that it is much more enjoyable for me to see the things that you're thankful for than hearing about politics. So keep doing it. It is amazing, and listen, it does make a difference in our culture. So thank you guys for doing that. Now, it is Thanksgiving, and so I think it's important to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, a little maybe some statistics to kind of get us in the mood for Thanksgiving, okay? So I kind of looked up some statistics from last year in 2019. Now, granted, this is 2020, so this year, anything goes. But in 2019, kind of a typical Thanksgiving, I'm going to throw out some numbers, some statistics to you, okay? $313, the average spending over the five-day Thanksgiving period for the average person. $313. That's quite a bit of money. 10 hours and 33 minutes. This is my favorite, by the way. 10 hours and 33 minutes. This is the length of time for the average male on a treadmill to burn all the calories that they had gotten from Thanksgiving dinner. 10.5 hours. So think about that as you're eating your turkey and all the fixings. 10.5 hours, guys. We're not going to say about the female. I just learned not to even mess with that. All right. 552 plus million dollars. Over $552 million, the estimated amount Americans spend on Thanksgiving turkeys each year. That's a lot of turkey. Matter of fact, they said 46 million turkeys were killed for the holiday last year. That's depressing, isn't it? And aren't you, see what, listen, one more thing to be thankful for, you're not a turkey, right? So that's good. That's good. So 19 million, this is sad too. They have these statistics. $19 million amount of property loss caused by residential building fires each Thanksgiving. Somebody's burning their turkey. You know what I mean? How many in here have you ever burned a turkey? Anybody? Nobody wants to admit it. Everybody's like, that'd be me. Except there's a few elbows. I saw that. And this is one, I think you guys probably know this, and I just alluded to this, but 53% of the people say that the thing they dread the most about Thanksgiving holidays, talking politics at the dinner table. Yeah, everybody's like, yeah, I know. Makes you nauseous, doesn't it? That's about right. Listen, we have a crazy, crazy Thanksgiving this year. Everybody does. It's different. It's an unusual time, 2020. Some people aren't even having Thanksgiving. Some states have pretty much said no Thanksgiving. But here we are in 2020, and really I can see probably this year more than any other year that we could probably say 99.9% of all people will dread sitting down at the dinner table on Thanksgiving because the topic of politics will come up. But not just politics, but COVID-19 or coronavirus or the people that are sick or people that are hurt. You know, all these topics will come up at Thanksgiving, and we dread that. Listen, there's all kinds of things that can pop up at Thanksgiving that can cause anxiety, stress, all these things going on. So more than ever before, we need to be reminded of what we're thankful for. We need to be reminded of the power of thanks. So this morning we're going to look at one verse. That's where we're going to start, and it's in the book of Psalms, it's Psalm 136, and we're going to look at one verse, and we're going to kind of launch off that verse and talking about what we have to be thankful for. And whether we can see it or not, whether it's visible to us or not at this moment, there are many things that we are that we have that we can be thankful for, that God has blessed us with, and that we can spend our Thanksgiving rather than talking politics and getting all anxious and stressed. We can talk about all the things that we can be thankful for. So, Psalm 136, and we're just going to read verse 1 this morning and then talk through this verse, kind of dissect it a little bit, and then I'm going to give you about just 3 points at the end to kind of, 3 challenges for your Thanksgiving week. So Psalm 136, verse 1, if you're able, would you stand as we read God's Word this morning? So this is what God's Word says in Psalm 136, starting in verse 1. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the power that's in Your Word. Holy Spirit, move and work in this place. Move and work in our hearts. Transform us into who You want us to be. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You know, the book of Psalms, if you were to walk through the Psalms, and if you have never done that, I want to encourage you to do that. All through the Psalms, what we find is we find a lot of praise to God. We find a lot of Psalm that talks about Thanksgiving. Psalm 100, for instance, we talk about that many times at Thanksgiving time. But something about Psalm 136 that I find so powerful and that I love, and it's the way that it is set up, the way that it is written. And listen, it's written almost like a praise song. And if you've ever spent any time in church, you probably experienced some kind of praise song where the choir leader would or the worship pastor would say a line and then or sing a line, and then the church would come after him and sing another line, and it would go back and forth and back and forth. This is what's happening in Psalm 136. And if you've spent any time looking at this, it's fascinating, it's poetic, it's powerful. As a line or verse is spoken or sung, as we would probably assume for this psalm, it's spoken of some attribute of God or a blessing from God. And then at the end of each verse, it comes up with the same powerful statement. "For His steadfast love endures forever." What I love about this psalm is you really could put whatever you wanted from your own life into this, and you could have your own worship song. "God, You have given me an incredible family. Your love endures forever. God, I'm so thankful for my church and my church family. Your love endures forever." Listen, this is a very personal psalm for us, and we can see ourselves in this. And I can only picture in my mind as the psalmist was writing this almost in a worshipful way, giving honor and glory to God. Now, as I think about this psalm and we begin to look and dissect this psalm, and again, open up your Bible, make sure it stays open. Perhaps the most powerful part is at the beginning. So Psalm 1, 2, and 3, and then Psalm 136, 1, 2, and 3, I should say, the verses. And then verse 26, all start in the same way. As we look at it, what does it say? It says, "Give thanks." Give thanks. You know, last week we talked about the fact that giving thanks and being thankful is not just a recommendation, it's a commandment. We are commanded to give thanks to God. This is all through Scripture, all through the Old Testament, New Testament. Give thanks to God. And the psalmist says the same thing. Give thanks. And so I think it's a great place to be and to read as we talk about Thanksgiving. For this verse 1, I believe we can pull out 2 very important truths about God that would give us enough ammunition this week to have praise and to give thanks no matter the circumstance, no matter what's happening around us, no matter what kind of talk may happen around the dinner table. We do have things to give thanks for. This idea of giving thanks is a confession. It is almost a worshipful idea of things that God has done and what God is doing. And so when it commands to give thanks, we are to speak words of praise to God. We are to acknowledge who He is and what He has done for us. And listen, there's no better time to do that than Thanksgiving. I hope we do it all the time, not just on the holiday, but all the time. So let's look at this verse and let's look at why or how we're able to give thanks and what is the reason for this thanks. And we can look at the very beginning. It says, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For He is good. That's how it starts. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Listen, I want you to know this morning that we can be thankful and give thanks to God because God is constantly good. God is constantly good. And maybe this morning, that's what you need to hear. Maybe this morning, this Thanksgiving, you need to hear that our God is good. This is a powerful truth that we need to grasp and hold on to. Psalm 31:19, it says it this way, oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. Listen, oh, how abundant is your goodness. So here's what's powerful about that statement. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. You know, we look at this idea of good and bad. We look at it from human eyes. So we can look at people that we know and we can say, they're good. They're good folk. You know, that kind of thing. And we can say, this is good food. We have this measuring stick of what is good. And we say that quite often. This is good. This is good. Sometimes we take that same thought and that same measuring stick, and that's how we think of God. I want you, listen, when this says give thanks to the Lord for He is good, this is not saying give thanks to the Lord for He has done some good things for you. It is not saying that, you know, give thanks to Him for He is good today. Listen, this is giving credit and glory to who God is. This is not about whether we think He is good or whether we think He is not good. Listen, that has nothing to do with it. The reality is God is good. This is His attribute. This is His trait, this character trait. He has always been good. He is good today and He always will be good. He is good. And listen, this is the important thing about understanding this goodness of God. If we can grasp that God is good, and no matter what happens in this world, God remains good. Nothing changes Him. We don't classify Him as good based upon our standards. Because listen, if that's the case, then you know what? Just as He is good in our eyes because of what we think, then He will be bad because of what we think. And that's not who God is. God is good. Listen, you can't have God without goodness, and you can't have goodness without God. You can't separate Him because that is who He is. God is good. Do you know in your life today that God is good? I say this is important because, one, it truly changes your perspective on everything that happens. So when you come to the understanding and you kind of, you know, settle the truth that God is good no matter what, He's not going to change. God is good. And that changes how you approach difficult days. That changes how you approach Thanksgiving, maybe with heartache because you've lost a loved one. It changes how you deal with the political environment of today. It changes how you live out your faith during the coronavirus time. Listen, it changes everything because you recognize even in the hardest and most difficult storms of your life, God is still good. And so what does that mean for us? And why is this important to us? Well, I kind of was just praying through some things about God being good. And how does that apply to us in our life? And why is this so fascinating for us and important for us? And so I have a few things that I want you just to kind of, if you don't have your notes, you can write this down. If not, you'll print the notes later. But But one is this, knowing that the fact that God is good, we can understand from Scripture that God is a good giver. So if He's good and we look in Scripture, we know Him to be a good giver. Now, when I was writing these notes, and so I want to just stop here for a second, because I kind of, every once in a while, on a Sunday morning, I'll be looking over my notes, and I'll just think, now that really probably isn't the best thing. And this is one of those instances. I was looking at my notes, and I put on the notes, He's a good giver. God is good, therefore He is a good giver. Well, I started thinking that. So when we say God is a good giver, it almost implies like there are other people or other things that can give the same kind of good gift. Doesn't it seem like that? So I want you to cross that out and just put the. Just leave it with the. He is the good giver. Nobody gives like God gives. Nobody blesses like God blesses. There is nobody that compares to God. You can look all different places. You can find different books to try to find help. Listen, those things are great, but nobody gives like God. God is the good giver. Here's what He says, what Scripture says in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Why is God such a the good giver? Well, one, He doesn't change. He's always the same. He's perfect and always will be perfect. So everything He does is perfect. And so what He gives us is good. There is no evil in God. There's no evil. Matter of fact, in James, in chapter 1, if you look through that first chapter, what does it talk about? It talks about joy and suffering. It talks about temptation. Listen, it even says you are not tempted by God. God didn't tempt you. So what does God do? He's the good gift giver. That's what God does. He gives good gifts. He's a giver. And so when we look at this truth of who He is, we recognize that what we experience in this world, listen, we can always say that what God gives us is good. Now, you may be racking your brain thinking, okay, but I don't have maybe the house that I would like to have. I don't have the car, maybe I'm struggling financially, which a lot of people are experiencing those things today. But when we talk about Him being the good giver, listen, we can find many things that God has given us that are good. Let's think about Jesus. Jesus. He gave His only Son to die on the cross for us. That's a good gift. What about the Holy Spirit? Incredible, powerful. What about forgiveness in Jesus? What an incredible, powerful, good gift that the good giver has given to us, that we can live free without the guilt and the shame of the sin that's in our life. Forgiveness, peace. John 14 talks about the peace that we get from God and have in God, not like the world gives, but like Jesus gives. Listen, that is a good gift, and we can experience that in our life today. Wisdom, as James 1 talks about, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Why? Because He gives good gifts. He is a good giver. Listen, if you were to look in Scripture, we would find truth that talks about all that God has given us because He gives good things. We can be thankful today because He's the good giver. But what else? Listen, He's also the good provider. When we talk about Him being good, He is the good provider. He is the one that gives us the provision that is needed in our life. Look at Philippians 4:19. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn Philippians 4:19, a powerful verse that talks about provision from God. And I want you to look at it because, listen, this is life-altering when you can use Philippians 4:19 and have that real in your life and hold on to it, because it changes everything. It's a game changer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And this is what it says. It says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." How can we be thankful today? What is a good reason for us to be thankful today? Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Leave it on this verse just for a second. Because in this verse, listen, we can find just something so incredibly rich in what's being said and what Paul is saying. He says this, "And my God." Right off the bat, can I just tell you, be thankful today that you can have a relationship with God the Creator. That we can have a real, true, deep relationship with the God who knows all things, has created all things, and is in control of all things. Paul says, "And my God." He doesn't say, "And the God." He doesn't say, "And a God." He says, "My God." Praise God that we can call Him my God. That we can have this relationship with Him. But listen, it doesn't stop there. It says, "And my God will supply." Listen, Paul is confident that this God that he has a relationship with, this God that who has redeemed him, who has rescued him, who's brought him out of the pits of sin in his life and has rescued him, he will supply. Listen, he's not saying maybe or there's a good chance. Listen, he is saying, "My God will supply." Listen, that is confidence. Listen, we can have confidence in the good provider. Just like Paul did. And we say, "My God." If we have a relationship with God, and we are following after Him, we can say with confidence, as Paul says, "And my God will supply." But listen, this is how it ends. It says, "Will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." I want you to underline that. Every need. Every need. My God will supply every need. I want you to underline that, circle need. If that's some translations are a little different, but you circle need right there. And let me tell you why. This is an important word. When we talk about God the provider, many times and in many places, this will be used almost like Santa Claus. You know, my God's going to give me everything that I want. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, "And my God will supply everything that I want." What it says is, "My God will supply everything I need." We can give thanks today because our God, my God, knows me so well. He knows every aspect of my life. He knows that I'm walking through COVID-19. He knows that I've lost my job. He knows that my family is struggling. And He is going to supply everything that I need. You can be thankful today. Be thankful because in your time of need, God will supply all that is required. We look in Scripture and we recognize this incredible truth of how God is in control of all things. That He knows what is happening in our life. Matter of fact, you look in Psalms, what we find, Psalm 24. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." Listen, God has created everything. He is in control of everything. Don't you think He can provide everything you need? Have confidence today. Be thankful that you have a God who will supply your need. But also, I love this. And this is something that God's been teaching me. But He's the good builder. You know, when I think about COVID-19, I think about all the stuff happening in our world today. You know, this kept coming to my heart. He's the good builder. Think about, you know, listen, we walked through the foyer. That's coming along, right? It's amazing to see what guys, you know, ladies and men, what they can do with their hammer and hands, saws, everything. They can create incredible things. There's people working out there doing incredible stuff. And it's real, they're really making it into something beautiful and wonderful. You know, we have people in our church. You know, I was telling this morning, John Munkus, you know, he can build anything. And so all through our church, like, his thumbprint is on so many things because he can just build it. You know, I went to Joseph Moody the other day and I said, Joseph, we need another offering box, you know, because offerings are overflowing. Not really. But anyway, we need another offering box. Really, it's symmetry, so we can have one on both sides. But, and he's like, yeah, got a little measuring thing? No problem. I'll build that thing like that. Listen, I hurt myself with a hammer. I'm telling you, like I can't do those kind of things, but man, they can build. I think about God, and I think about in this time, we go through rough times and hard, difficult storms, and they are difficult, and they're hard, and never would take anything away from that. But even in the midst of that, I can give thanks. Why? Because God is building me. God is building me. God is building the church. Why are we going through the days that we're going through? God's building the church. I can be thankful today because the church is being formed into what He wants it to be. I can be thankful today because in my life I am being formed and shaped into who I want, He wants me to be. Hebrews 3:4 says this, "For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God." You know, when we talk about house, what it's talking about is a spiritual house. It's talking about the church. It's talking about people. It's talking about the temple of God, which is us. Listen, He is building us. He is shaping us and forming us into who He wants us to be. We can be thankful today because our pain is not wasted. The difficult days are not wasted. God is building something amazing. So be thankful today. Give thanks to Him. Why? Because He is building. I love Psalm 127:1. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." Listen, God is building you. He is shaping you. You're His workmanship, as Ephesians tells us. And what He is doing in your life today is He is shaping you and He is sharpening you, making you into who He wants you to be. So give thanks. Be thankful today. Okay, well, let's move on. Listen, the rest of this verse, after it says, "For He is good," it says this, "For His steadfast love endures forever." Listen, we can be thankful today because God's steadfast love endures forever. God is continually loving. He's constantly good and He's continually loving you and me. What does that mean for us? Well, it means this. Listen, we recognize that today that His love is genuine. That He gives us a genuine love that we can experience daily. Listen, we live in a very weird, strange time where people and emotions are kind of fickle. Have you noticed that? I mean, maybe you've experienced that in life. You know, growing up and living life and all in my short time here, I have had so many different relationships of friends and different things where, you know, one day there's great joy in the relationship and the next day it's gone. I've had relationships where, you know, in front of me it's encouraging and people loving you, and then on the backside they're stabbing you in the back. Listen, people can be pretty fickle, but can I just tell you, God's not fickle. When He says He loves you, He loves you. Matter of fact, He loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son. So we look in 1 John 4:10. "And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Listen, it is genuine love. He's not just playing games. He's not just blowing smoke. Listen, He loves you, and He doesn't just love you. He shows you that He loves you. Listen, He is genuine in His concern and care for you. You can give thanks because He gives real love. But not just genuine, but also, listen, His love is generous. We can give thanks today because His love is generous. What do I mean by that? Romans 5:5 says this, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Listen, God doesn't have a limit on the love that He gives you. It doesn't run after a certain time. It doesn't run out after your third time of messing up. You know, it is reassuring for us to know that the imperfection that we live in life today, does not change how God looks at us. If we have Jesus, listen, we're redeemed. We are made righteous and holy through Him. And so when we make a mistake and we mess up, listen, God loves us unconditionally. Now, listen, that doesn't mean He approves of sin, but it means that He loves you and me. And so His love is genuine. I love Lamentations 3. Verse 22, it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Listen, God's love is abundant. It is overflowing. Psalm 36:5, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." His love is genuine and it's generous today. You can give thanks and be thankful because God's love is being poured out in your life. So what do we do with this? What do we do knowing that we can be thankful? Psalm 136 says we need to give thanks and we have reason to give thanks. So how do we apply this to our life? Just real quick, three things. And again, if you have notes, you can write this down. But three things that we can do over this week that I pray will help us kind of overflow with thankfulness and grow in our thankful heart. And the first thing is this: be observant. This week, be observant. And what I mean by that is this. God cares for you. He loves you. He is working in your life. He is moving in a powerful way. God is not hiding in a cave somewhere because He's scared of COVID-19 or because He's scared of the political process of America. Listen, God is still actively moving and working in your life. We just have to be observant. We got to be able to see it and look and see what God is doing. Many times what happens is because of the chaos that we see around us, it seems like it's so chaotic, it takes our focus away from what God is doing. Never miss what God is doing, even in the crazy time. Never miss what He is doing, even though it seems out of control around our world. Corrie Ten Boom wrote this story about her time in a concentration camp, and it was her and her sister. And one time they were in these barracks, that's where their sleeping quarters, and they were just piled in there. And they had a flea problem. Like, fleas were everywhere. It was just an infestation of fleas in their barracks. She said it was awful. Awful. But her sister came one day, and they were worshiping and praying, and she gave thanks to God for the fleas. And Corrie couldn't believe it. She said, "This is awful." And her sister said, "Listen, we get to pray and we get to worship all that we want in here." She said, "You know why? Because the guards don't come in here. And you know why? Because of the fleas." Can I tell you, with everything that happens in our life, God still works. And He's still moving. Listen, He is a God who is not scared or caught off guard or surprised. He cares. And He's working. Be observant. See it this week. But also, be hopeful. This week, be hopeful. Now, listen, I was a social work major in college. That was my degree. And so I've said this before, we took a lot of psychology classes, things like that. And so I'm not a fan of, you know, the power of being positive. I think it's good. I don't want you to be negative. Listen, I don't want you to do the opposite. You know, yeah, I hate church, that kind of thing. I don't want you to be negative. But I don't really, you know, the power of positive thinking, I'm not a big fan of that mental kind of thing. But listen, I am a big fan of the power of being hopeful. That changes everything. Because then we can walk through any kind of trial in our life, and if we're hopeful, we know there's something better coming. Listen, there's no better way to have a thankful heart than to know that this is temporary. And so I want to encourage you, be hopeful this Thanksgiving. Be hopeful because we have heaven that is coming. Be hopeful because we know Jesus is going to come back. Hopefully soon, but you know, Jesus is going to come back. Listen, be hopeful that He's working all things out for His good, which He is. Be hopeful that better days are coming because Jesus is victorious. And we have victory in Him. Listen, be hopeful. There's power in being hopeful. So I want to just encourage you, be hopeful. The last one is this. Be expressive this week. And you've done a great job. The Power of Thanks Challenge, that's being expressive of your thanks. Be expressive this week. Worship, give Him thanks. Write out what you're thankful for. Share what you're thankful for. Give Him praise at every moment. Pray, spend time with Him. Be expressive in your thanks. And why is that so important? One of the most important instructions that we've ever been given as a kid, and you guys have it, I've said this to my kids over and over and over and over again. Practice makes perfect. The more that you practice your thankfulness, the more it becomes a habit in your life. And so I want to encourage you this week to practice your thankfulness, to express it every day. Express all your thanksgiving to God every day, not just the holiday, but express why you're thankful. Listen, we've had a whole list of things that we can be thankful for, His love and His mercy. And listen, we can be thankful, so express thanksgiving to God. I heard this quote, and I love it, and I'm going to let you write it down. I didn't come up with it, so that's why it's so good. But it said this, and I don't know the author, but it's not me. And it said this, if you pause to think, you'll have cause to thank. That's what I want you to do. If you will pause to think, you'll have cause to think. Listen, God's giving deserves our thanksgiving. Listen, if you can pause to think, you're going to have so many reasons to thank Him. And so this Thanksgiving, give thanks. There are so many reasons why. Give thanks. So another poem that I read, and I thought this is a great poem. And once again, I didn't write it, and so it's really good. But I love this poem. And I'm going to close out with this poem. And I hope that it encourages you. I hope it challenges you a little bit for this Thanksgiving as we kind of walk through this journey. And this is what it says. It says, thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all He does provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant, balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and dreary fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers that He has answered. Thanks for what He does deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all He does supply. Thanks for pain. Thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Listen, we have a lot to be thankful for. I want to just challenge you again. There's power in thanks. It's life-changing, and it's culture-changing. And so this week, give thanks, for the Lord is good. And you know what? His love endures forever.